Welcome to the Bards FM podcast. This is Scott Kesterson, and tonight you're listening to The Dawn of Insanity.
This war is real. Fighting is everything. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Tempt not the righteous man to draw his sword. Conviction, righteousness, ruthlessness. To understand tolerance, you have to understand the line of intolerance. War is the teacher, soldiers are the students. They become the bards of war.
Good evening, patriots. And tonight is Friday, March 22nd in the year 2024. Patriots, right now, interestingly, if you're so interested, we're parallel streaming over on Rumble on the Resistance Chicks channel because I've been over there for like 4 hours earlier and was part of their Brighteon show and also did their after hours or behind-the-scenes show or something like that. Got a little wild and crazy. Michelle's over there. She's going to be joining us tonight for a bit and on and off. She's going to be stepping in. We've got some things to discuss. Going to be a good evening of conversations and getting into essentially the craziness that has settled into this nation and some of the technology that's going to help us stay there. I don't know if that's a good thing or not, but it is what it is. Patriots, a couple of things before we get going. Super important. Number one, we have BardsFest. BardsFest.com is where you're going to sign up for that. BardsFest is the event that's happening in the two events locations. One of those event locations is in Ohio, and that's up in Brookville, Ohio. And the other location is being led by Pastor Rod Parker, and that's down at Kimato, Texas, right near Eagle Pass, one of the first entry points of the United States. So these two events are both the same, and we do need to update that flyer on our website. But anyway, it's April 7th. It will be a evening of prayer and communion. That'll be at both events. That will begin at 5 p.m., and then April 8th, both events will start at 10 a.m. in the morning, and of course, we'll go right through the full darkness. It'll be a full darkness event, which will be fantastic, and lots of cool things. Down at Pastor Rod Parker's event, you've got one of the Stingers, Stephen McRither, and then he's got his team down there doing worship and deliverance. It's going to be a great event. And then up at our event in Ohio, you're going to have myself, of course, Michelle and Leah, Resistance Chicks, Pastor Neil Peterson. It's his church, actually. And we're going to have Pete Santilli, Pastor Devonese Ball, and her mentor, Apostle Greg Davis, and, of course, the two little apostles, of the Revolutionary Revivalists, which are Little Leah and Abigail, that are going to be there. They've been on the show before, and they are on fire for Jesus, and it's going to be great. It's going to be an event that's going to run to the length of until the Holy Spirit says stop. So just buckle up. It's going to be wild. And there'll probably be some other people that'll show up as well. It's going to be a great event. You can register on the BardsFest site. So go to bardsfest.com, bardsfest.com. Click on whatever event you're going to. There's a request to donation. The request to donation is $25 a person, but no one is denied. So if that's too much for your budget, we understand. And like always, give what your heart says, because where some people can't, other people can give more, and it's greatly appreciated. And we can continue this wonderful process of supporting each other. So that's it. And check that out. It's really worth it, and you'll be very, very pleased you did. Now, we are definitely dealing in a time of psychopaths. We know that. And this psychopath elite isn't getting any better. In fact, they're starting to get worse. So let me bring Michelle in. Michelle, are you there?
I am totally here. Hi, Mr. Kesterson. Can they hear me on Podbean?
Yes, they can hear you.
Okay. I know we had issues the last time. That was just from my own streaming software. But we should be fine because we've just been streaming continuously. So it's good.
We have our chats so well trained that like the minute you say, can you hear me? I get the thumbs up, the 5-5. Everybody's ready to give you the feedback on what's going on.
I don't have my people are more free spirited.
Well, that's one way of putting it, but we will help them out over there on resistancechicks.com Rumble. We will help you out. We will send over our team of advisors to advise and assist to lead you to greater things. How's that?
But it looks like everybody stayed, which I'm really excited about. They're like, we're just going to stay. Why not? And video is so great. Can we get a hands up for all the people that love to see Scott Kesterson's face on video, please?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, she's gonna
big wave and hands up. Big yes. That big emoji with the where they're blowing the like birthday thing. You know, oh, my mom's birthday is tomorrow. I want to announce that to your people.
It's tomorrow.
My mom's birthday.
Happy okay, birthday it's tomorrow. Tomorrow is
Leah. Or in 2 hours.
Oh, that's right, because it's
according close. To East Coast time.
Getting close, which is good. Yeah, this is we've had quite a day of shows, and we've covered a lot of things today. And so we started on Brighteon today, and then we went over to Rumble, and we covered a whole range of things. Obviously, I'm going to just touch on one. If you've been with this whole length of time, I don't want to omit it because it deals with kind of this network of insanity, which is the big event that happened today, supposedly happened today. And I'm just going to be very topical on it. But it's this distraction event, and that's what I'm going to call it. It's the fear entertainment programming coming out of Russia right now. Of the event that has killed, apparently unconfirmed, but apparently killed 40 people and injured 100. Lots of graphic violence, lots of fire, lots of things to catch your attention and keep you locked into the TV while you ignore the fact that they just passed this $1.2 trillion omnibus bill, while you don't pay attention to the fact that this massive explosion of looking at who some of the networking and influence powers are, which goes back to the cult. The blood cult that's running Israel that call themselves Zionists is doing. Mm-hmm. And that's unraveling this whole global network of criminality. And so they don't want you looking at that right now. And they don't want you paying attention to the fact that Candace Owens just got released from her job because she spoke out against a pedophile rabbi. So there's a lot of things happening there. We also have the economy, which is collapsing. We had the border surge that happened yesterday in El Paso. We had a riot. Which, by the way, I got news from Pete Chambers that that's now been contained, which is good. And do keep Pete in our prayers because he's been very active down there. And so there's a lot of things that are happening. Essentially, it comes down to what Edward Dowd has said, and that is that we are on the tipping point of the entire economy. We're literally running on vapors right now. And that is a truth. The economy is way past its tipping point, and it's just a matter of falling apart. Now, Michelle, you had a great clip I wanted to play and start tonight with.
Yeah.
And this is a clip.
Let's try and play it on my end. And then Podbean, if you guys aren't hearing it, let us know. And Scott will play it instead on his.
Let me set it up real quick.
Because our people already saw it. But right, I'm pretty sure that it will push through.
All right. Let me set it up. This is a clip from Robbie Starbuck. He's talking to Tucker Carlson, right? And then, and he's talking about literally the mindset and the cult that's driving people to do these transgender surgeries and what's about all this. It's a really a powerful, powerful insight and discussion. So go ahead.
Oh, wait, hang on. That's on my end. Wait.
Okay.
That's a Twitter. This is a Twitter refresh the page because Twitter decides to retarded. Hang on, here we go.
In a civilized country, the one thing you're absolutely not allowed to do.
Wait. Here we go.
It was get working. Creepy with other people's kids. That is not allowed. It's the worst thing. And even now, go ahead and try that in a place where the people have self-respect, like Africa or Eastern Europe. You will get killed and you will absolutely deserve it. But in this country where the population has been instructed for decades to hate itself, there is very little resistance, if you think about it, to organized attempts to get sexually creepy with your kids, porn in school libraries, drag queen story hours, Rachel Levine, the fake admiral posing as a girl, encouraging your boys to, quote, switch genders. It's absolutely everywhere, despite their attempts to tell you that it's not. Of course it is. Look around. Well, Robbie Starbuck has noticed. He's just directed a movie about all of this called The War on Children, which is exactly what it is. Here's a clip from the film.
If you watch the news, you've probably heard politicians and pundits saying things like this.
Transgender children are not having surgeries. That's really important to say.
In his tweet, he talked about stopping surgeries for people under 18, which is not a thing. That is not a thing that happened.
There is misinformation presented that somehow that we're doing surgery on minors or even children, and that simply is not true.
So Layla Jane, how old were you when they gave you a double mastectomy?
It was a month after my 13th birthday.
How long was the process before that with the doctors to prepare you for this?
I initially started seeing doctors for my gender dysphoria when I was 12. So it was within that time frame, within a year.
What age were you when they put you on puberty blockers?
I was 12 years old.
12 years old. doctors gave you a drug called Lupron. This drug has been used to chemically castrate sex offenders, pedophiles in prison, but they prescribed it to you to stop your hormones. Is that correct?
Correct.
Again, a healthy society protects its children. That's the whole point of having a society. That's why we have civilization. Otherwise, we just let young men do whatever they want, or the people with guns rule over the rest of us. But we don't do that because we want to protect our children. And when a society ceases to make that a priority, that society ceases to exist. So this is a fight worth having. Robbie Starbuck has joined it in earnest, and we are grateful to have him join us now. Robbie, thanks so much for coming on. So since you've been marinating in this topic, both on a kind of granular level and high level, what's your top line conclusion about the attempt to sexualize our kids? Like, what is this exactly?
This is a near planetary scale psychological operation to usher in a new form of communism. And I know to some people that might sound extreme, but no. You know, to give a little insight, my family came from Cuba, where communism happened in a flash. And I don't think a lot of Americans realize just how quickly this can happen. And we're well down the path. I would call it probable at this point. You know, we're fighting as hard as we can to make sure that it doesn't happen. But when the opposition party that is, you know, the quote ruling class owns every cultural institution, and, you know, you've essentially got children locked into their indoctrination centers for more time than they spend with their parents or their religious leaders, you know, the outcome is truly horrific. You know, what we just watched with Layla Jane, the way I was raised, it would have been considered barbarism, and the appropriate result would have been the death penalty for any adults involved in the mutilation of the child. But we veered into this territory where people are sleepwalking, and that's why we made this film, because really, truly, adults in America needed to be shaken awake.
Why would you allow your own children to be destroyed and mutilated? What's the thinking, do you think?
Well, in this mass psychological operation, a lot of it has actually played out in a way where it's influenced the parents as well to believe that there's something wrong with them if they question this, that, you know, they're some kind of, you know, ideologue that's insane if they are not okay with their child suddenly deciding they're a different gender. And, you know, on the flip side of this, you've also got states like California, where we highlight in the film this child named Jaylee, where her mom refused to transition her. So you've got these parents who do step up, and what does the state do? They crush them. She had her child stolen from her, and then in state care, Jaylee ended up committing suicide. So when another parent sees that and they see that the state will take action against you if you oppose it, if you live in one of those states and you're trapped in some job and you feel like you can't leave, a lot of them feel like there's no other option but to go along with it. And sadly, you know, we've got to build up a culture that really defends these children and produces parents who are brave enough to be warriors for these kids.
And I think warrior is the word. I mean, if you can't use force in defense of your own children, then obviously, you know, you're not free and your children don't belong to you.
My whole life I've heard politicians say this is the most important election in history, and it's always bullshit. But in this case, it genuinely is true. This is the breaking point. You don't save the next generation right now. They will become the future voters and the future leaders of tomorrow, and they will be fully indoctrinated into this cult. This is a cult. This ideology will break this country and everything our founders and ancestors built. Okay, and that's not just this country. That's goodness. That's virtues. It's about humanity. What is inside of us? What are we willing to do to tell the difference between right and wrong and to stand and really stand for something as a human being? Because we're lacking that. Our soul is tattered right now, not just as a country, but as the human race. That's why I said this is an almost planetary scale operation. And you see it all over the West. You see it in the permissiveness of immigration. You see it in the permissiveness of sexualizing our kids.
We're at sort of an end stage now. This has been going on for a long time. And you tied it to immigration, I think, correctly. And maybe the thing this topic and immigration have in common is that we're unable to defend ourselves from invasion or from sex crimes being perpetrated against our kids. These are sex crimes against our kids. And no one, our self-defense mechanism seems to have been disabled as a society and as individuals. How did that happen? Thanks a lot for watching.
So this is really a fantastic discussion, right, Michelle? What do you think? You're muted.
I see that. I did it. I pulled a Scott. Honestly, you gave me the machine that's just like yours, and it's very convenient, actually, for muting. I'm looking at this entire process, and the idea that you can take a society and cause them to believe that cutting off the genitals of children is a good thing is very brazen of the devil, honestly, number one, and terrifyingly accomplishable. It's working. Now, I do find that the farther they push this, the more people are waking up. So they're playing Russian roulette with their own agenda here.
Yes.
Right? Because it has the potential of blowing up massively in their faith. And based on the fact that the gospel is spreading and expanding and the kingdom of God is expanding more and more every single day, I think that it is going to blow up in their face. It already is blowing up in their face. But the problem is that we don't have time to wait for them to just keep pushing for it to blow up in their face, because every single day more children are being mutilated. So we must, as the body of Christ, rise up and put a stop to this. We don't get the luxury of just going, well, if they just keep pushing this, then everybody's going to wake up. Because in the meantime, we've got a Chloe Cole who had a double mastectomy, and her where her breasts were still weep, and she's told that she can never have children again. And since she has detransitioned, her voice has been silenced, because they use you like a porn star. They use you, they abuse you, and then you're washed up and they never want to hear from you again.
Mm-hmm. No, this is true. I think the question, and this is going to lead us in, because I want you to play the clip in a minute here from the Cantrells. So here's the thing, and this is a question that needs to be asked. And it's this: what are your children worth to you?
That's good.
And this is red lines. We've talked about this on Bars Nation for 5 years. And the question is, what are your red lines? And if your red lines don't exist, you end up in a place where the government comes in and takes your kids. Now, right now, right now, we are literally in a place where people are afraid to stand up for their children. They're afraid when there's discussions here where the government comes in and they take the kids away because the parents are not allowing them to transition. This is happening in California. One of those stories, I think he just spoke it, didn't he? It was just about the California woman in California.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
About how she literally had her child taken away and the child committed suicide in captivity. My question is, what is it worth to you? What are your children's lives worth to you? There's this man in Texas, and this is, I think it makes some people uneasy when I'm going to say, but then again, this is what I believe.
But then again, when do you not?
Yeah, when do I worry about if it's going to offend somebody? That's just kind of it. Like, there you go. All right. So you have this father down in Texas that comes in on a guy raping his 5-year-old daughter. He literally beats this man to death.
Yeah.
And then he goes to court and they throw it out. They say he's justified, which is fantastic for Texas law. Okay?
But yeah, it's huge.
But here's where I go with this. What an act of love.
Right.
That child will never forget in its memory that their dad stepped in and took that criminal and destroyed them so they could never do it to another child again. And that father was willing to sacrifice everything in his life, including his freedom, for his child. Where is that? This is the thing, is that we have people now that we're talking about, well, the government's doing this and they're putting pressures on us. It's a group of people. They're a bunch of stooges that live up in a little house that come up with these stupid ideas. In Oregon, one of the entire floors of our legislature flies pedophile and LGBTQ flags, which are all pedophiles anyway. Yeah. They fly that. And so somehow, you know, we get reports like they're passing this. And I'm like, okay, so what? They only have power if we give them power. Defiance in this case is an absolute obedience to God. And if you are going to allow them to come in and affect your lives with these rules, and we're all worried about the consequences, then you're not being a parent. You have to be a parent and defend yourself. Look, they're in Oregon, and I don't know if we'll play this clip tonight, but in Oregon, there's an issue going on of them starting to shut down small farms. And they're coming in and telling people that cease and desist to raise your cattle and to sell them. And I'm sitting here stunned going, okay, since when do a bunch of stupid bureaucrats and a bunch of environmentalist loons that are sitting up in Portland and Salem area get to tell the farmer what to do on their land? But the problem is they're isolating people and no one's coming up together and they're all being cowering down in the fear of government. I'm like, no, this ain't going to happen. They need to be introduced to the legislation of lead. That's easy. I mean, it's literally like there has to be a place.
Did you just make that up?
I did. You like that?
You just made that up right now?
Yeah, I just made it. It was inspired. it's just trying to inspire legal processes. You know, it's voting with something other than your, well, pencils.
I wonder if I should shut down the Facebook stream. That's what I'm thinking right now.
You might want to maybe edit that one out for Facebook.
Facebookies, you can hop over to Rumble. I'm gonna shut y'all down because you never know what this guy.
Yeah, I forgot what he's gonna say.
I mean, you have to maintain your channel on Podbean still too.
So it says Facebook probably already shut down. They probably blew a circuit. But anyway, so this is a really, really important principle that we have to get people to understand. That is, you have an obligation to protect your land and your family.
Yeah.
End of story. There has to be red lines. And if you're not willing to lay your life down, and it's amazing because we have people that will be like, I'll protect my land. Okay, well, how about your kids?
Come on. No. Can I jump in on this?
Yeah, please.
Because it makes me mad. I get righteously indignant about this, especially even like when it comes to homeschooling, right? So many parents, they will go so far, and yet they know what's going on in the public school system, but they still think that their kid will be immune. And I am here to testify, without getting into too much detail here at all, but I'm here to testify that I don't care how godly, how righteous, and how strong you think your child is, because I think I was pretty awesome when I was a teenager. And even I succumbed to this agenda. And this was 20 some odd years ago, right? And so these parents are very naive. They want to believe that they are doing such a good job with their children that, you know, I hear this all the time. No, my kids, they share everything with me. I shared everything with my mom, except for the things that I didn't. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so when you look at this as holistically, what are you willing to do to protect your children? My mom, after my sister came in the room with me in a compromising position with a man when I was 16 years old, my mom did the extreme. She got rid of our telephone. She got rid of our internet. And I was put on 24-hour watch for like a couple of years. Okay. So how worth your children are, like, how much are your children worth to you, right? And so when you say stuff like, a lot of these parents are too terrified to stand up to this radical agenda that's coming after their kid when their kid comes and says, you know, I'm a boy now instead of a girl, because they're afraid that their kids are going to be taken away. First of all, that's a very valid fear that they have, because your kids may be taken away from you if you do not affirm this insanity. However, I go back 10 steps because you made this decision. And I'm not trying to be mean or harsh to parents that end up here, because I do feel bad for you. You were brainwashed. This is the Matrix. And maybe you did not know any better. But every day that you put your child's upbringing into the hands of other people, especially the state, you have all but relinquished your rights as a parent.
In this day and age, absolutely. And I think this is the point, that the consequences of keeping your children in the public indoctrination camps is very real, and it should be evident to everybody. So if you're one who says, I'm just going to trust the system, then you're trusting your life. You're trusting your child's life. I think that's the other part of this that I'm also wanting to emphasize, is you really have to ask, what do you value so much you're willing to sacrifice everything to defend? That's the bottom line.
Come on. That's it right there.
By the way, that was the motto that we used in 2016 for the Kilroy Rising Project. What do you believe What do you believe in so much you're willing to sacrifice everything to defend?
And you know what Leah told me?
What's that?
Later in that situation, her first thought was, I have to get a knife, and I don't care if I go to jail.
Right. So there is that if we don't have these intensities to protect children, I mean, we've missed our entire point. And that's even Tucker Carlson just said, he just said it. He said that we've basically lost our perspective to protect the lives of our with violence. I mean, this is, re-listen to that clip, because the truth is that he is telling you, if you go to Africa, you do this, they're going to get killed. Mm-hmm. We have a right to protect these things. I mean, literally, and what has happened to us? In Africa, you're not going to get killed by, you probably get killed by a machete or being fed to pigs.
That's exactly what's going to happen to you. And you know what our friend Corey said down in Nicaragua? Like, they don't have, I can say what I want, right? They don't have homosexuality in Nicaragua, because he essentially says the community will take care of it.
Yeah, it's just, you can't have this. We've gone to a place where everything is acceptable and gray. And this is where I've talked so much, and people know this, about the idea of the pulpit being compromised, because we've lost this fire and fury that says this is right and this is wrong. Instead, we see an explosion of churches that will fly the LGBTQ flag. They'll talk about compromise within the congregation. They will accept you all. Look, you want to go out and do evangelism in these communities and bring them to Christ? That's awesome. But when they come into the house of God and you're sitting here, you need to be speaking to the fire and brimstone about what Christ said. And there are things you don't do, and you sure as heck do not cause little ones to do harm to themselves, period, or to the king. And this is the problem, that all of this comes back to this nature of the family. Candace Owens said it in an interview. Matter of fact, do you have that clip on Candace Owens still?
Not the one that we played earlier.
Okay, that's fine. Well, because Candace Owens was doing an interview today, and she's, by the way, if you want to talk about somebody who's literally...
You mean the one on The Breakfast Club?
Was it The Breakfast Club where she was talking about the family?
Where we played it on Brighteon?
Yeah.
I can get it if you want me to...
Yeah, let's play that one. I mean, this is a powerful... She's become an advocate for the sanctity of the family and what's been happening, and she's looking at, like, how they're getting to people. And she's right. The family's broken. You've heard us talk about this. I mean, it's so much about this message, especially since Bartsfest has been on fire towards the destruction of the family, which takes us back to the Kinsey Institute, which takes us back to all that momentum that was created and these intersections of things that happened in 1947. It's a war against the family and the root of the family. And in so doing, they've broken down the structure that, Mike, my parents grew up in a structure of family. There was a nature of protecting the family. We've moved into an era where the family is not protected anymore. It is not sacred. In fact, when you can see that and how much it's not sacred, when a parent agrees to move forward with transgender surgeries, and they're seeing that as a righteous act because they believe in somewhere in their thinking that their child is born imperfect. They have to accept that. You have to accept that premise if you're going to take your child in and have them mutilated at a sacrificial clinic run by the worshipers of Baal and Moloch.
Scott, can I just, and I say this a lot, and I don't want to beat this dead horse, okay? But... to have a parent, when you do double mastectomy is one thing. Okay. You're never going to be able to breastfeed, right? Okay. That's one thing. And that is still, as a parent, I don't know how you could do that to your child, thinking, what if my child changes their mind on this? This is where I'm going with this thought. Okay. But even if you're not thinking, what if my child changes their mind on this, you had that child because you had a whatever level of intimate, loving experience with another human being, and you would rob your child of ever actually having that the way that their body and God designed them to have that. And I can't wrap my brain around a parent that would do that.
I can't either. I think what's happened here is this has been a real stealth movement. And I think there's a lot of people that are still thinking this is not as big as it is. LGBTQ movement is the fastest growing group in the United States. The number of children in high school that are starting to identify as something other is something upwards like 60% nationwide. Statistically, it's out of any sort of rational understanding, other than the fact that morality in this nation is broken. And as Robbie Starbuck pointed out in that clip, children are being spending more time with their indoctrinators than they are with the family and their pastor. That's just a fundamental mm-hmm. issue. So when you expose children to a different environment where plurality and gender is the norm, what do we expect as the outcome? And this gets to a much, it gets to the deeper issue of like what education has become, what teachers are willing to do, who's teaching your children. All these things should be vetted. I mean, it's like when, if you go out here and it's like you have a cannibal.
They vet these teachers at Parent Teacher Day, Scott.
Yeah, well,
that's my sarcasm.
I know.
I met my kids' teacher. They seem okay.
I think there's a legacy in the thinking that somehow teachers are safe, but it's anymore. It's like you need to sort out who's the cannibals because there's a ton of them.
Okay, but let's also this idea that teachers are safe. Okay, great, fine. However, historically, we have seen, and this is scientifically and statistically proven, that pedophiles seek out positions where they have access to multiple children. Yes. Okay. This is why you saw a lot of pedophilia in the Boy Scouts. This is why you saw it in the priesthood. When pedophiles in jail are interviewed and they have victims of up to 300 to 500 children, right? How do you get access to that? That's not all the kids in their neighborhood, right? They're in positions where they have access to multiple children, even pastors. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so being a teacher, if I'm a pedophile, I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to be a teacher. Like that's my number one job because that is going to put me in the line of the most amount of children. So teachers aren't safe. And then when you add to that, the exponential growth of pedophiles that has happened over the past, since Alfred Kinsey, since 1940, every year it grows because I'm sure there's a stat on this. I don't know it, but I mean, we could make one up and it would probably be fairly close of the percentage of children that were molested that grow up and become pedophiles. Right. And so the more kids that are molested, the more pedophiles we have. And then it just cycles through and it cycles through and it cycles through. So when you start all the way back with Alfred Kinsey and all the kids that have been molested since then, the amount, a number of pedophiles that we have today, I can tell you is off the chart and would blow your stinking mind.
No, I agree. It is literally the invisible enemy is what we're talking about here.
Have that Candace Owens clip if you want me to run it.
Yeah, go ahead and play it. That'd be great.
All right. We're going to pull it up this way. Because I had to download it, but it'll still play really nicely, actually.
Now, it's first off, trillions of dollars. You're signing these omnibus bills. If you read into it, where that money is going, it's insane. It's mm-hmm. literally going, to museums, boards of museums. They're quite literally money laundering is what's happening when they sign these bills. But they keep it so that the information level is so low for Americans, that it's like, oh, COVID's so bad. Like, we're going to give you a check that's $300. This basically describes welfareism, right? Like, despite the fact that there's been trillions of dollars since the establishment of welfare, Black Americans are poorer today than we were before it. People don't know this, but during the time of Jim Crow, before welfare was established in the 1950s, Black Americans were actually outpacing white Americans in this country in terms of economic growth. And the reason for that was because our families were together. Like, we had good values. The government only wants to give you the bare minimum, but where's the rest of the money? Mm-hmm. Where is it going? They sign these bills making you think that this money is going to you. It's not. They are stealing from the American people. And you look at your congressman, whoever it is that you guys sent down to D.C., and you realize that they're all just puppets. I feel like we're watching a performance, and who can say the most outrageous thing? The Republicans don't want to sign this because they want, slavery and they want you back in chains. The Democrats don't want to sign this because they want grandma to die. Whatever it is, you're watching to me, it's a play.
That's why I don't mm-hmm. think, that's why I think if you're Black, you shouldn't be beholden to any political party. Democrat or Republican.
Right. I mean, I think that any concept of saying that I am a Republican forever, a Democrat forever, is a nonsense. You should always look at the candidates that are running, and any person that is running saying that they want to grow government is your enemy.
Why do you think people give you a lot of backlash for questioning people and having questions? I see all the time with Charlemagne, if we question something that Kamala Harris did, or question something that Joe Biden did, or question somebody that's Democrat did, why do you think how will people have so much backlash when you ask so many questions?
Well, because I think that they don't realize that they've been manipulated against their own interests. And a lot of it is you know, when you start telling the truth, you become a problem to the establishment, right? So if you're the military industrial complex and you want people to just kind of sleepwalk into another war, and I'm sitting here telling you that, you know, Pentagon just can't keep finding the trillions of dollars that they send overseas. They've got this budget and they're sending all this money to Ukraine. And then they say, oh, we don't know where all the money went. It's being laundered and it's being sent back to a very small group of powerful people. And so when you have someone like me who's cutting through all of the emotional arguments, you have to turn that person into persona non grata, right? And what better way to do it than to have their own community attacking them and saying that they're, you know, pro-white or anti-black. I mean, it's a nonsense things that they say about me. If you listen to what I'm actually saying, I'm sitting here providing a blueprint for Black Americans to get ahead, because it's time, okay? It's time. We've been doing this for a very long time in this country. Black America, wake up, okay? They don't like you. They don't like us, okay? There's
so you're not anti-black.
America government. Has,
yes. Government.
America.
Yeah, yeah. Like the government, the American government. Why would you think the American government wants to help you? Well, at what point in history has that proven to be right? And I'll challenge that and I'll make it wider to all Americans. When has it ever been the circumstance that you felt that the government really just was out for your own best interests? Think of them as a corporation. They want to grow themselves. They want new departments, bigger departments, larger budgets like any other corporation would want. And they never want to leave D.C. because we don't have term limits, which we should have, right? If we had term limits and said you can only serve for 4 years, well, then guess what they would be doing for those 4 years? Trying to shrink government, because they'd have to come back out and be us, right? Mm-hmm. When you look at the way that your tax dollars are being spent, you should be outraged. You should be angry. But stop thinking that the enemy is, you know, they constantly have us arguing against each other. Women versus men, black versus white, you know. It's a nonsense. The reason why they want us constantly warring is because it distracts from all of us coming together and taking a look at who the real criminals are. And the real criminals are this small group, this small cadre of powerful people that I think we're virtually all still on a plantation. They just made it look nice. You know, you got a nice chair. We got nice chairs here. But I think we're all still on a plantation.
Shut up.
All right. There's a lot.
Still on a plantation.
Good words. There's a lot to unpack in that clip. And she's hit a lot of things. And stepping aside, because she did a great job of talking to Black America and then expanded it to all Americans. And she's dead on all the points. Now, just so in case you guys didn't know, Candace Owens was released today from the Daily Caller. And she
Daily Wire.
And she was released today because of her outspoken position against the pedophile rabbi. And she went and went after him, who had called her an N-word. Which I'm shaking my head. I'm like, dude, of all the things to do by your own woke culture that the Zionists have made in this country, along with our intelligence agencies, a black female woman of a mother, a professional, can't be racist, and you can never use that word against her according to their own rules. I'm just saying. And now it's amazing how God kind of used that. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, wait a minute. You're not a rabbi anymore. You're a white supremacist. So it's pretty cool. But it's, this is literally what we're dealing with here in our nation is a big question. And it's literally, how did we get to this element of insanity? And it's the hard questions of how we as a nation have come to a place where we've accepted insanity as the norm. And it's almost like we want to retract and have our own lives. This system is broken from its very core, and unfortunately, the federal government has such reach that it has strangleholds down as low as your city, and those strangleholds have to be cut free, those binds, and that's only going to happen at a local level when we start empowering sheriffs and empowering county commissions and getting the right people in to say enough is enough, because it's only through that authority that they can legally tell the government to stand back. But people have to have established a red line. And we go back to where we started, kind of went into that clip, was vetting people. It's not just politicians, as Candace Owens said. When you're handing your children over to a teacher, to anybody, I mean, would you walk down the street and throw your kid in somebody's car and say, hey, take care of them, see you later? I mean, no. And yet we do this as a matter of course, because somehow in the indoctrination of our system, because somebody has a degree and they come from a college and they've been certified as a teacher, they're going to be safe. And what we've seen here is anything but. And that's where I really get into this. I mean, tonight's title, which is The Dawn of Insanity. We've arrived at a place where that has become a normal practice. And the consequences are evident. Children questioning their gender. We have children that are going to college still. I mean, when every time a parent says, well, you need to consider going to college, I'm like, are you serious? Like, what planet am I on? Where have you been? Seriously? I had this great experience the other day, which you will appreciate, Michelle, because it was somebody who was working as an apprentice with the electrician. And he came to the house, and this is a young man who's about, I'm guessing he's 19 years old. He's been with the electrician for 9 months in his apprenticeship.
Oh, wow.
And, oh, yeah, it's great. And talk about an awake young man, like totally aware of why he wouldn't go to college, why he's doing trades, that he needs to build skills and for his life that he can rely on if the economy falls apart. And his mentor, his who's running his apprenticeship, this electrician, he's also awesome. And his great family, Christian man, his fostered kids, great thing. And so he through this mentorship program, this young man is getting not only skills, but he's getting a way to look at the world. And he's having interactions with customers, and he's talking, and he's learning things that otherwise he would never have. He is so far advanced for his age, and it's so inspiring to when you meet things like this and you say, there's hope, right? So there's always a way through, but we hope is not through the conventions of the system. I mean, we understand very clearly that Mike Rowe, for example, of Dirty Jobs, I mean, that man has led the revolution to get kids back into trade schools. Incredible work he's done. And yet he is attacked regularly. Why? Because what he's offering is truth. He's offering kids to get skills and talents underneath them that they can rely on, earn a livelihood with, not go into debt and be part of the debt slavery system, and they're freed and stepping into the world. This is fantastic. And yet when you hear parents still pushing this idea, well, you need to get a college degree. Why? Why would you ever think that's a good idea? Everything that's coming out of colleges now is nothing but woke culture. And so you'll hear these things like, well, I want to be an engineer. Okay, well, first of all, the first step of that would be going to community college. But we have to get past the point of relying on universities to provide us with this knowledge. They are broken at this point. The entire education system from top to bottom is nothing more than an indoctrination funnel to destroying children and enslaving them into a debt system.
So we have to understand where this all comes, where the root of all of this is. Compulsory education did not come into place until the late 1800s. Okay. Our founding fathers never intended to have compulsory education. And yet during our founding era, illiteracy wasn't as big as we have been taught that it was, because children were educated at home. They were educated with the Bible, right? And then this Prussian model comes in, and all of a sudden it's literally, you know, kind of Pavlov's dogs, right? Ring the bell, get the treat. Ring the bell, get the treat. That's where the bells in the public school system come from. So I want to emphasize something that's really important. John Taylor Gatto, one of the greatest minds of our generation, I say our generation, he passed away like within the last 10 years. He was the New York City's top public school teacher at some point, but he allowed students to go out, and he would encourage them to just take his whole class off and just go out and like do something and go work for somebody or be an apprentice. And there's so many books written by him about the corruption of the public school system. And one of the things that he emphasizes, and this phrase that I can't get rid of, is perpetual adolescence. When my great, great aunt Stell, she was born in 1901. I remember having Aunt Stell Day with her every Friday when I was a kid, and we would take her out shopping and she'd take us out to eat. She was born in 1901. She had an eighth grade education. When my Aunt Stell was a child, an eighth grade education was essentially a complete high school education. These extra 4 years are the years where students would historically go to university, right? When John Quincy Adams attended Harvard University at the age of 16, he was considered old. Okay, because the other students at Harvard were between 12 and 14 years old. They were much, much younger. And by the way, Harvard University at that time was a monastery, not a monastery school, but like to educate pastors. It was a theological college. Okay. Mm-hmm. So how did we go from an eighth grade education when we're looking at like the McGuffey readers that most of us couldn't even pass right now? Okay, we would have no idea if we opened this thing up. We couldn't pass the test of an eighth grade education 100 years ago, to now we need 4 more years of perpetual adolescence and no trade school at all,
right?
My friends that went to trade school, they have real jobs now. Like, they are a functioning member of society. I worked under an electrician very briefly. And so my heart goes out to this young man. When you have the skills to it. An electrician is not just what we all think of as an electrician, because if you're an electrician, you're going to learn how to work with wood. You're going to learn how to do framing. You're going to learn how to do drywall. It's not just electrical, right? You're also going to learn some plumbing in that as well. Being an electrician is such a huge thing. So when you're an apprentice for someone that has a trade like that, it's so much bigger than just what our minds consider as, oh, it's just an electrician. It actually, and then the skills that it gives you when you have to problem solve on the fly, these hands-on apprentice type careers or jobs, this is what our founding fathers always intended. If you're not going to be a farmer, right, which is what they kind of envisioned the whole nation being by and large. But even then, within communities, you always needed the blacksmith, you needed the cobbler, you needed all these things. And they had apprentices. So we go back to, where did we get this idea that you're not an adult until you're 18 or you're 21? It's going back to John Taylor Gatto. It's perpetual adolescence. They keep you young, they keep you immature, and they keep you down, and they water down education to keep you as an imbecile so that they can then take over the world. So the number one thing that you can do to combat this is to homeschool your kids.
And to get them into trades.
Yes.
Because I think this is what's critical. A lot of the reasons these kids end up where they are in believing this is the education is cerebral, it's not applied. When you get into applied skills where you're actually using your hands, you're in the world, you're actually doing things, this idea of like gender transition is just nonsense. If you're working on the farm, you're working around animals, I mean, what cow ever comes to you and says it wants its gender changed? It just doesn't happen, right?
No, it says, please milk me.
Yeah, I mean, this is literally where we are. Now, as we kind of pull things together tonight, what I really want to start to look at here is where this trend is going and why this is such a big deal. They are getting people prepared for a world where gender is plural. And the reason that so much of this is there is because the artificial life forms that they're developing don't have gender. You're hearing this talked in terms of a satanic cabal and their worship of Baal and Moloch, which is true because it is conceded an Aphrodite. It's anyway, it's both.
Yeah, no, I think you said it right. Yeah,
Aphrodite. So it's both. It's neither either or is their god.
Oh, you mean an hermaphrodite? Wait, now you've got me questioning how you say it.
I think I'm
saying everybody knows what we're talking about.
An hermaphrodite. Yeah, I'm saying it wrong.
It's an hermaphrodite, isn't it?
I don't know. I'm getting it wrong.
Oh my gosh.
Somebody will put it.
If Scott Kesterson and I both together can't get it, then we're in some trouble.
We know what we're talking about, though. It's having both genders and essentially being gender neutral. But here's the other part that's very important.
Hermaphrodite.
Okay, here's the part that's really important because people are missing this. And it's on the very near horizon. Robots do not have gender. And they're giving rights to this robotic life form. Mm-hmm. They're already allowing in some states for people to marry a robot. They are giving rights to this. And this is all the back end of the AI artificial intelligence. So as they prep this generation and they get them confused and broken, the next wave that's right on us, it's happening right now, and they even say by the end of this year we're going to start feeling the major impact. AI, they say as early as 18 months, which would be mid-year 25, will have replaced upwards of 30% of U.S. jobs. And the next wave of that will be upwards of 80% of jobs will be replaced in this service market. Remember, this is not a manufacturing economy. This is a service market. And it's not a trade economy. It's a service market. 80% of U.S. jobs will be replaced somewhere by 2028. They are preparing for a replacement strategy on a whole new level. So when you go back to this invasion on the border, you get into the breaking of the family. The state is increasingly moving in to be the parent and increasingly coming into losing the rights of parents. We know that COVID con was part of a big issue. Part of that is sterilization of a gender, of a race.
Mm-hmm.
And you start to see this picture evolve that where we're looking for is a replacement strategy. The diversion right now is the illegals coming across the border, because that's going to pit the illegals with us against each other. But that's part of by design. But the whole thing here is to be able to move labor into a robotic and AI form to where people have no place. And this is, again, where skills become the most important thing you can have, because the only way through there is to start breaking free of the dependency on this new society to be able to build new with the skills and talents you have. You and I have skills. A lot of these youth do not. So when I find a youth like I did the other day that's working as an apprentice, it's really exciting.
That's amazing.
And it's a huge thing. But they are truly trying to run us into here. And so just to kind of highlight some of this, and this was an article that came up yesterday, March 21st, and it was in Unlimited Hangout. And the title of the article is Weaponizing Reality, The Dawn of Neurowarfare. This is a whole issue now of being able to develop weapon systems that's literally brain and computer interface. This has been as hyperspeed. It's being run by, you guess who? It's being run by the military-industrial complex, and right at the center of discussion is Neuralink, which is Elon Musk's company. And just so we understand what that's about, is Neuralink just had its first successful brain implant chip. Yep, I can hear it. Right. So, and this is like Elon Musk's Neuralink company broadcasted a live stream on X featuring the first patient to receive its brain computer implant, a 29-year-old quadriplegic. This groundbreaking procedure enables him to operate a computer cursor using thoughts, allowing him to play online video games. So this is how they sell it. This is how they've brought the whole...
Because online video games is exactly what a quadriplegic needs.
Right, but it's even worse than that. Because emotionally, everybody goes, well, this is great. We're helping this man. But this is not going to be limited to a quadriplegic. This is part of by design of this whole chipping that they want to get in people. You always go through the week. So if you're going to introduce cyborg-type limbs, you're going to develop them for people that have lost their limbs. This all sounds good until it becomes an option. And this is a movement. I mean, this is literally where you're talking about designer bodies. You're talking about being able to interface yourself with other things. All of this is what they're prepping this youth for, and it goes to the center of rupturing the family. And you just follow it. You go back to Kinsey. You go back to the Kinsey Institute, and over that process, they removed 48 or 50 of the laws, the sexual perversion laws that protected families. And once you got those out of the way, it was game on to destroy the family. And once you started pushing on the breaking up of the family and you started smashing in all this technology where you're literally creating massive generation gaps, you're creating separation from youth and adult, where even adults can't relate to kids sometimes because of the technology gap that occurs, you're able to get to the children even if the parents are there. And little by little, you start indoctrinating these kids into this cult, and we're arriving at a point right now where literally the idea of being part of an integrated culture between AI and human beings is becoming normalized. And you tell me one candidate right now that's speaking out against this and says this needs to be stopped. The only state leader that said it needed to be controlled that I know of is Putin. And he's not saying it should be stopped. He's just saying it needs to be controlled. So
it's iRobot. You remember that film with Will Smith?
Oh yeah, it's very good. It is exactly, and you're gonna have the one that goes crazy, or that's like.
And then that's what you saw, right? And then they humanize the robot. Then the robot's then given, you know, civilian rights.
Right.
Like, and you know what opened the door to that? The LLC, giving corporations rights. Right. Corporations can't have rights because they're not an individual, and yet they do, and so. Now we're looking at, with this artificial intelligence, it doesn't even have to take the form of a mechanical thing for them to then say it has human rights.
And that's what this has been the big push quietly behind the transgender movement. So all the transgender movement is pushing in your face these rights. And this is where and look at the sophistication of this. You start the gay movement politically with the alliance between the pedophiles, the Liverpudlian gays, and the pedophiles in London. That gets its spark. It picks up fire. It moves across the ocean and gets in here. And we start to raise up the gay and lesbian movement that then suddenly explodes because all sorts of great programming and probably stuff in the water. Like make the frogs gay. Alex Jones, great moment. That's a great one.
Yeah.
And so you end up, when Obama comes in, it gets lit off by fire. literally, like he goes after that to elevate that up, create divisiveness in the society, bring them up and get equal rights. And watch, let's look how quickly that LGBTQ flag expanded to like 50 different genders or whatever they have. Insane. Because all of this confusion and plurality has an objective. Give rights to everything under the sun so that everything that they develop has rights that you can no longer go after. So this is how bad it gets. We're talking about right now, and we're seeing the seizures of land occurring. When you start getting robotic cops coming to your door, and trust me, this is in their plan, and you shoot the thing, you will now be charged with murder. This is where
they're going. Oh, yeah, right, yeah. Right?
And so these are the sorts of thinking that people aren't expanding their minds enough. This is our moment.
Or if it's not murder, then they will charge you for the cost of the robot, which could be $1 million. It could be $250,000. And then you can't pay it. And then they haul you off to jail. Right.
Right. So we literally, the moment of standing up is now. And so this is where I kind of want to wrap this around, because I hate leaving shows with like, oh my gosh, I can't sleep tonight, because we're not doing that. On the 8th is a major event. It is a major event. It is an eclipse event. We're going to talk about it in depth tomorrow night on Gospel of Peace. Michelle Lee, I think, is going to join us. We're going to be into this thing big time tomorrow, and we're going to be talking about the whole biblical sense of this event. It is huge. And this is where I paint the picture with all the challenges that are before us, but there's a singular pivot we have to have. Right now, more than ever, all of this stuff that they're throwing at us, there's only one way we get through this, and it's not through legislation. It's not through a precinct strategy. All these things are part of changing mindsets. They're important. But the true sense of change comes through our faith in God. And when we have that power and we go back to the story of St. Patrick that literally drove out all the demonic snakes out of that island and had the king of the Druids end up bowing before Jesus, praise God, that's the power which we carry. So they're trying to create a physical force and a distortion of mindset to make us believe that Satan is more powerful than God. That is literally what this ends up being, is the illusion that God has no authority here, that we can't stop this, and that they are going to be able to get in everybody. And they're doing this because they are literally everywhere. The problem is they're not everywhere. They just want you to believe that, but that we have the power of change. Change takes responsibility and takes action. Faith and works, it has to come down to that. So when you get down to faith and works, that means people that are still keeping their kids in school, you're part of the problem. People that are still shopping at Walmart and you're supporting that, it's part of the problem. We have to start making hard decisions about how we want to live. And we have to start stepping away. And here's the next piece. When you're allowing the government to come into your property, you're allowing the government and they're not getting any resistance, we're empowering them and we're part of the problem. This is an era of defiance and accountability. Accountability to God, and they are also held accountable to God, and it's defiance on our behalf for their rules and alliance with God. When we get that mindset in us and understand the true power and authorities in which we carry, this stuff ends. There are so many more people in this country than these fools that are running it. And once we could rupture this, but everything is about our choice. Everything ultimately is about us choosing a path that's ahead of us. And this is the era in which we've arrived. And it's a very critical moment. And it's a critical moment that I truly believe that in the end, God does win. But like I've said many times, God won with Noah too. It's just there weren't many people left. So you might want to be on the good side of this thing, right? No matter how it works out, when you stand against this, you're doing the right thing. So all of that said, the 8th of April is going to be a big event. It's huge, in fact. It's an event that literally is about a spiritual moment where there is from darkness to light, and it is a big moment in this world that cannot be denied in a spiritual significance. We'll talk all about that tomorrow night. Be part of it if you wherever you can be. We'd love to have you wherever you are, but we'd love to have you at our events. But most importantly, stay in prayer and stay focused on this event and pray into this, because we have greater authority in prayer than they want us to believe. We know this through our stories. And I go back to St. Patrick, and I want to close with this. Rome was driven out of Ireland. St. Patrick wasn't even Irish. He was Roman. He ended up being held as a prisoner. He ends up coming back to the island, having had his experience with Christ as a prisoner. So he wasn't even raised in the church. He comes back, proclaiming his authorities under Christ, and completely does what the entire army of Rome can't do. He subdues the Druids, breaks their cults, sends out the demons, and gets the king of the Druids to accept Jesus on his knees. If he can do that, there's a whole lot more of us. We can stop all of this before us. The illusion is believing that what's before us is impossible. That's Satan's lie. We have to believe that who we are and in whom we are. And when we accept that, we realize that all of this that we look at that they're trying to force down us is rebuked and stopped when we stand together in unison in the body in Christ and reject it and proclaim God in this land. Pretty straightforward.
Boom.
Easy That's equation.
Great. It's so simple. It's so straightforward. Do you want to play the Cantrells?
Yeah,
video?
That's right. Let's do this. There's an event coming up on April 13th. They're encouraging it to go nationwide. What's the website again?
Yeah. Don'tmesswitharkids.us.
Okay.
Don'tmesswitharkids.us. So, I'm going to screen share that with you guys so you can see it. But if you want to have this at your capital, you want to lead something in your state capital, please, by all means, contact them. It says register to stand in your capital. So we're going to play this amazing promo that they put together, and you will see some familiar faces if you've ever met any of the Cantrells or their children.
So the agenda is after us. Gender ideology has infiltrated our schools, healthcare systems, and the culture at large. Laws are being passed that legalize kidnapping if a parent doesn't affirm their child's transition.
The grooming, the drag queen story hours, the pedophiles being rebranded as minor attracted persons, boys infiltrating girls' sports and safe spaces. When is enough enough? Are we worth fighting for?
Am I worth it?
Am I worth breaking the silence?
Am I worth it?
Am I worth sacrificing your time?
Am I worth it?
Am I worth you taking your stand?
Am I worth it?
Am I worth crossing political aisles, denominational lines, and racial barriers?
Am I worth it?
Is our future worth fighting for?
I am the next leader. Please help us all.
Pilot, archaeologist, evangelist.
All across the nation, mama bears are rising up to say enough is enough. Where courage reigns, freedom prevails. Families are coming together to take a stand. Parents, aunties, uncles, teachers, administrators, leaders of communities, we need you to rise. United we stand, divided we fall. Will you fight for us?
The attack on our kids has gone too far. Will you fight? Will you stand with us? Will you pray with us? On April 13th, we're gathering right here at the state capitol from 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock to fight for our kids. Will you join us?
So great, Scott Kesterson.
It is. It's awesome.
I love it.
So this is, again, so much of the fight that we're in is going to be about awakening and awareness. If we're looking towards legislators to do their job, I know there's a lot of hope there. I'm not one, as most people know, that buys that as a strategy. I believe that the people...
Hope,
yeah. No, believing that these legislators will become anything else. Other
okay,
than
okay. I missed the subject line in that.
Yeah, you do.
Keep going.
That's okay. You kind of missed that one. It's all right. Yeah, that was no. I have plenty of hope. I just don't have hope in the pedophiles. So I have a prayer that they all find a millstone. That's where in this one way ticket.
You have a prayer that you get to deliver the millstone.
Oh,
like
I
beep
do.
Beep, here comes Scott driving the truck of millstones, hanging heavy in the load in the back.
I want to see that. I want to see that industry back in. We'll teach all sorts of stone carving back in that one. That'll be good. But anyway, it's a great event. I'll get Nikki to put it up on her social media. That'll be awesome. And that's, again, what's the website again?
Don'tmesswitharkids.us.
Don'tmesswitharkids.us. Check that out and be part of that. It's a point of waking people up. We still have a country that lives in unconsciousness, unfortunately. Even too many people in the pulpit, too, I swear. Hey, we always close with a prayer. Michelle, why don't you start tonight?
You didn't do any ads today.
Yeah, I did at the beginning.
Can we talk about the broad fork? Because it's time.
Oh.
To start preparing for your plants.
Yes. Okay. So this is actually one of the great people that really, really good people that's part of Bard's Nation community. And it is the broad fork. I've got it. Hang on just a second. I'm pulling it up so we have it. So this is the, let me find it. Tread Light Broad Forks. There we go. Okay. So Tread Light Broad Forks is one of the fantastic tools of your garden. I love them. I have them. They are a fantastic company. It's a family-owned business. And if you can find the link below the podcast, if you head on over to treadlightbroadforks.com, this is a great tool. It's a non-till tool that allows you to dig deep into your soil. You'll get down about 18 inches to stir that up. If you're using a double dug bed process, you can actually get twice that length. It is a fantastic.
They have multiple products here. I'm showing it for everybody. They've got the 4-tine, the 5-tine, the 6-tine. So, I mean, you can get pretty big working this puppy, and you can get replacement handles for it, right? You can get steel handles for it. I mean, this thing, this will till up your earth. Look at this, people. Yeah, I'm telling you.
Yeah, this.
I mean, you could probably just go through the reviews on here and see how excited people are. You started advertising for this because you fell in love with it, right? Look at these pictures. Look at this. This is like amazing. Am I selling your product for you?
You're doing a great job. So yeah,
look at this.
So go below the podcast.
This is the coolest thing. It's two-handled.
Your promo
code. And it just literally opens up the earth. They have a kid using this.
I've used them pretty heavily. That's my primary tool. They're the best ever.
Love it.
Yeah, these are
Big
fantastic.
Pond Farms Broad Fork review. Look at that. They're using it on straight up grass. Holy macaroni.
Yeah, I've used this on some of the hardest earth outside of concrete.
Shh. I was going to play it while it was muted. So, no, but I can't go ahead.
It's wonderful. It's a wonderful tool. So you'll see the link below the podcast. Click on that. Head on over there. Your promo code is BARDS. As always, it's a fantastic, fantastic tool. Can't tell you enough how much I use them. They're a great company, great family. Time to use them. It's the time to get your garden started. Really important. So there we go. Okay. That's
now we're going to pray?
We're going to pray.
You know what I want to do as part of my prayer, because they didn't get to hear this word from Leah, which is so good.
Yep. Go ahead.
What is it to me to save by many or by few or by many? What is it to me to change the world in a day? A day, you say? Yes. Yes. A day. And sooner than you can say, look, I will have accomplished my work. For as I came in the fiery clouds in a white steed in times past, the vision of the king in the clouds was brief and did not last. The judgment will be quick and fast, painful for a moment, like setting a shoulder, but the fire of my judgment will continue to smolder. The fire will not be put out for days, years, or even decades, for the fire will be my smelting and melting pot to continue to refine all of the drossy metal in the people's hearts. So dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we just thank you so much that you do send us through your refiner's fire, because we want to be the purest of all metals. We want to be found as pure gold and pure silver. We do not want any of those impurities left within us, especially when we are called to eradicate tyranny from this land. We want to be found as pure and spotless as you can make us. And like they say that when a silver jeweler can see his reflection, then he knows that all the impurities are gone. And so, Father God, I just pray that when you look at us, you will be able to see your reflection in us. And so, Lord God, we just thank you that as we go into the eighth, that you are readying our hearts for whatever is coming. We do know, and we are feeling that a judgment and a justice is pouring out on this land that is going to last for decades. And I just pray that you are making us prepared. You're making your people prepared, and you are providing for people land where they need land, healing where they need healing, and wisdom and knowledge where they need wisdom and knowledge, and the skills that they need. You know, so many people think that they need to have money or a good job or something like that going into a situation like this, when actually, if you have a skill, then you are going to be one of the most desired people and resources where we are headed. And a lot of people are getting a lot of different words. And I just pray, Lord God, that you will be able to establish your truth and your clarity in one body, in one mind, where we hear one voice and are prepared for what is ahead. Lord God, we just thank you for the fivefold ministry. We thank you for Bard's Nation, that you have been using Scott Kesterson to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, because what is coming in right now, I'm just seeing a field
a battlefield, and there's a red cross, and that's the body of Christ. And we need to be prepared for when these people are coming back in, and we need to be able to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. We need to be righteous enough to raise the dead, and we need to be able to make disciples. We need to have apostles that make disciples, that make more disciples, that make more disciples. Father God, we are entering into a church era and in an age of the ecclesia, where we will set, if one can set 1,000 to flight and two can send 10,000 to flight, then a three-strand cord is not easily broken. So I just pray that you unify us. Jesus, you said, I pray that you will be one as I and my Father are one. So Lord God, I just pray that you unify us so that we are one as you and the Father are one. And I just thank you for the sign that we are about to be witnessed to in the sky that proves that you have not turned your back on this people. You have put an X on this nation, and you are causing the whole world to look at it and say, I am doing something here. And all of this insanity, all of the craziness that we've talked about here tonight for hours, it's going to be overshadowed the way that you are overshadowing the sun for this total solar eclipse, where all the world will have to stop and look and see and declare the works of God. And I just pray, Father God, that hearts will be transformed and changed as we move forward, and they will be ready for each calling and each battlefield commission, where people will be raised up to not just one level up or two level up, but three or four or five levels up from where they were. And they will find skills that they never knew that they had, because in the moment when they need them, it's there. So I just pray that you bless Bard's Nation, that you bless Scott Kesterson for a continued fervor for expanding the kingdom of God, for putting to flight wickedness and demonic powers and forces and sending them to the lake of fire. And every single day that Scott Kesterson does a podcast and these people tune in faithfully, that the devil is furious. And so I just thank you that this will continue to expand and it will grow. I thank you for the Flemingsburg property, that all of that funding is coming in exactly when you want it to come in and how you want it to come in. And you will bless every person that sows into that ministry, and that that land will be used for the kingdom to heal and rescue and restore, and to shine a light to all of the truthers and all of the churches out there that this is how it is truly done. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Father God, I just want to thank you for this day and all that has been able to be shared over a number of hours of podcasting, but equally for all those that continue to be here and come here every day to just share in the discussions and to grow together and to build a fellowship that's unlike anything we've ever seen. A fellowship that has begun in a realm of digital that has transformed itself to the realities of flesh that is unbreakable. It's a bond within the body of Christ that's truly greater than anything we've seen. So, Father, we just lift this ministry up. We lift the Bard's Nation and Resistance Nation up, and we pray a blessing over all, a blessing of the courageous heart of Christ to settle in on each, to be able to stand even when it seems impossible, to always see through the illusion of the devil, to realize that he is not as what he seems he is, that we have all the authority in the world to overcome that which the devil puts before us. We just have to have our true sense of faith and our anchor truly in you. So, Father, we want to begin our day, each and every day, with a repentance, to come before the throne, to repent for the sins which we have done, known or unknown, to be revealed into our heart, to clarify and purify who we are, to then stand mightily in the day, to not hesitate as we stand and lean into evil, to know that you're fighting this battle with us and through us, and to know that through the blessings and the love and the unbelievable sacrifice given through us through Jesus, that we have nothing to fear, for we have been given life eternal. All we have to do is continue to walk forward, to stand before evil, to never bow, to not have any fear, to stand fearlessly in this hour, and to know that we have the authority to overcome all. We say these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
And a shameless plug.
Go ahead.
Something that I don't hear you talk about too much on your show, what? Mr. Kesterson.
Oh, boy.
For bardsnation.com. Community.bardsnation.com is one of the greatest places on the internet where you guys can connect and you can talk amongst yourselves. There's a lot of community chats that go on and a lot of community spaces and rooms. It is one of the greatest websites on the internet, and Charlie and Hannah have done a phenomenal job of that. Of putting that together. And I'm so proud of them. And I love it over there. I haven't been able to interact as much as I want, but I do try to post all of our shows over there when I can. But I love that it is a place where you guys can come together and feel safe and get to know one another, because you're in the chat. Maybe you don't ever listen to the live chats because you aren't able, because these are not good times for you. And so you feel like you miss out on that community aspect a little bit, and the website's right there. And you can join and you can be a part of the community. So bardsnation.com, community.bardsnation.com or bardsnation.com, both will get you there.
Wow. That's excellent pitch. I'll record that one, use it later. That's good.
Okay.
That's good. All right, Patriots. Thank you for being here. Keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into the fight. God is with us. He'll never forsake us. And in the end, God always wins. But we are here in this time, in this place, for just such a time as this. We are at war. So walk boldly and fearlessly with Christ. Occupy the land. Expand the kingdom. Subdue the enemy. Mission forward. Patriots, I'll see you tomorrow night. We will see you tomorrow night, actually, for the Gospel of Peace. Until then, or until the next time, good night, God bless, and
out for now.
There you go. All right, Patriots, I'll see you tomorrow night.
Oh, I wanna feel something. I just wanna breathe again. Dive into the deepest end. Oh, I wanna feel something.